This is another real-life story of everyday life and mission from Anchor Church Sydney. We hope you're inspired by it. For more stories, teaching and info, visit anchorchurch.com.au.
We love hearing about just every day. So we're starting a new series today called Every Day. And today we'll be talking about food. And we just want to hear more about you, Jerusha, and what it looks like for God to intersect with your everyday life. So can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Well, as Arnotto said, my name's Jerusha, and I'm part of the Darlow Fern Gospel Community. We were here at 9. Oh, yes, thank you, Hope. And I've been coming to Anchor almost 3 years. I moved here to Sydney from the U.S. 3 years ago and started coming shortly after.
Great, great. And we are glad to have you. Now, can you let us know, can you speak to us just a bit about what your journey with Jesus has been, with God, with faith? What does that look like for you?
Sure. I would love to share that. So I grew up with parents who really love God and walk with Jesus, thankfully. So I became a Christian at a young age. However, that did not necessarily inform my daily life for a while, actually. Really, what was the most important thing that kind of affected how I live day to day was whether or not people liked me. I think the raw material for that was always there, but it really solidified to me when I was in fifth grade. I think you're about 10 or 11 in fifth grade, my best friend came up to me on the playground and she said, Jerusha, I don't want to be friends with you anymore because kids think that you're nerdy. And that was crushing. I don't totally remember all of the emotions that went through my head, but that made me think the most important thing is what people think of me, because that's going to define who I am. That's even going to define who I am for other people. That kind of led me on this journey of just being on an emotional roller coaster, of wanting people to like me, of wanting people to think that I'm fun, that I'm pretty, that I have the right boyfriend, all of those types of things. It made me a very selfish friend because really I was only interested in your friendship if you boosted my self-esteem. And actually, I have a story about that. When I was in high school, I made fun of my friend Alice in front of some of our other friends. And after that conversation that people laughed at, she came up to me and she said, you know, that really hurt my feelings. And I said to her, I don't really care. If I can get a laugh out of it, it makes me feel good. And I don't care what you think. So I was a selfish friend. I always wanted to change myself. I wanted to be someone different. I wanted to reinvent myself. For some strange reason, I always wanted to be like quieter and more reserved and shy. I thought that would make me more interesting, which if you have ever spent even 20 seconds with me, you know, like those are the last words you would ever use to describe me. But I always wanted to be different. And so it was just kind of this never-ending process of wanting what I couldn't ever get enough of. All of that changed when I went away for some reason. I don't know why I signed up for this, but I went to a summer-long beach mission the summer after my first year of university. We read a book called The Search for Significance. And that author said, the world tells us that our identity is in two things. It's in our success or failure and how we perform, and it's in what people think of us. And so your identity fluctuates on those things. And he said, the gospel actually means that your identity is fixed in who God has made you to be. And because we know God, if we've placed our faith in God, he gives us an identity that is secure, that is fixed, that is the realest thing about us. And that was like huge. Like I can't even describe how freeing that was. It was like everything changed hearing that. It was like these heavy old clothes were coming off because I'd been trying to put on all these ill-fitting garments that weren't me. And so to hear that like God made me who I am and likes who I am was tremendously life-changing.
That's amazing. And even that image of trying to put ill-fitting clothes on, like I'm trying to put on my five-year-old kid's clothes on, just that's what it feels like or looks like when we when the clothes we wear is the opinions of others. Now, you say it was freeing. It felt like chains fell off. But sometimes we can try to put those chains back on, like much like the Israelites wanting to go back to Egypt. So, what are some of the hurdles or struggles that you find as you try to appropriate that identity in Christ every day?
I think there are challenges, both big and small. A pastor last week said that our hearts are like a guitar. You can't just tune them one time and expect them to stay in tune. We have to continually do that. And so I think I've faced challenges big and small. I think some big ones, like I remember when I got my first job after university, all of a sudden I was like feeling really insecure about my identity again. And I was like, oh, I thought I learned that. But it was like, no, in a new context, I have to learn that my identity is in Christ. When I moved to Australia 3 years ago, all of a sudden, all the laurels I had rested on were gone. Nobody knew me. Nobody knew what I had done at work. Nobody knew what I was like. And so all the things that I had said, this defines me, were not there. And I just felt like that in particular was a season of God saying, Jerusha, your identity is in who I say you are, not what you've done or the people that you know. But I think there are small things too. Like I think in little ways, like maybe I have conflict or get some ouchy feedback at work and I need to think, okay, what defines me? What this person thinks or who God says I am? You know, when I feel down, you know, my emotions kind of lead me on this crazy journey. You know, I can't always trust them, but I want to be in God's word, like you said, and that abiding, he's the one that tells me who I am. And choosing every single day in big things and small things to believe that that's true.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Now, today we're speaking about food and how that intersects with, life, faith. You're a bit of a foodie.
Yes.
Can you share with us what that means for you and how you view food as part of your faith?
Well, how much time do we have? I can talk. Oh. I actually prefer the term gourmand because that means foodie, but it sounds smarter. I love food. I grew up with a Southern grandma, and you just bring food for everything. Like, there is nothing that food won't fix, which is good and bad. But I think one thing is even finding my identity. I love to cook, and I love to experiment on people, and then I get paralyzingly insecure about whether or not the food is good. And so I'm like, oh, my identity is just in how people like my food. And so, again, choosing to believe that it's not wrapped up in that. I think, you know, sharing food with people, I think there's something so communal in food, getting to know somebody over lunch or dinner. I actually work with international students, university students, and food is a huge way that we invite people in to experience the community of God and to share something. And it's also a way that they can share with us part of their homeland, part of their culture. And it just creates a really easy bridge to talk about things that matter, like Jesus and food.
Great, awesome. Now, tell us, how can we as a community, we want to love you and what you do in your everyday life, how can we be praying for you?
You can be praying, again, for those international students. The university semester doesn't begin till the end of February, but it's just a privilege and a joy getting to spend time sharing the gospel with these students that, you know, really will be the leaders of countries all around the world. So you could just pray that I would be diligent and work hard, to love on them and to point them towards Jesus. You could also pray just, I think, for me, but for all of us, like, how do we allow God to affect us every day? And I think part of it is just, I'm going to trust God for what today holds. Like, I can't say that in 50 years or in 50 hours, really, am I going to be walking with God? But what I can say is I'm going to choose to trust him today. And I'm going to choose to believe that his word is true and let his spirit empower me today. And if I do that every day, then I will be walking with God. And so I just want to trust him for each and every day as it comes.
Awesome. Can you guys join me in praying for our sister, Jerusha? Father, we thank you again for your goodness to us. We thank you for the 10,000 mercies that have brought us to this point and for the mercies that you've shown Jerusha through her life, through her trials, through her struggles, through her finding her identity in you and appropriating that each day. So we ask that you would go before her, Holy Spirit, and that you would be with her on that campus, that you would guide her there, that you would make her a strong woman of faith in that place that will lead others to you, that her voice will not be tamped down, but that you will strengthen her in her role there. And so we thank you for her. We thank you for who she is, not just for what she does or how she performs, but who she is. And we thank you for her voice and her personality and her volume and everything that she is, Lord. And so we thank you for her, and we pray that you would go before her now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we thank our sister? Thank you, Jerusha.